Kildare Today with Clem, Owen and Kira.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, Kira, thanks. We'll hear more from Kira and Owen during the next hour as well. Back to some of your messages. Alice says, any unvaccinated person who ends up in hospital should be made pay for the hospital stay. We'll see that happening, Alice. Sean in Selbridge, please ask the doc why he thinks, despite the high vaccination in Ireland, we have the highest COVID rates in Europe. Yet that point has been made by a number... I don't know, have we the highest? I'll have a look at that, Sean, because I have some statistics on that as well to hand. So I look at that in a while. KFM says, Breda, if people have the right to refuse the vaccine, would the hospitals not have the right to refuse them admission for treatment in the interest of the safety of other patients? It's a very complex situation, you see. But whatever about hospital settings, which are very, very controlled, the idea that an unvaccinated person can say on the one hand, I have a right not to accept vaccination is grand. But does that mean then they have the right to actually enter areas where they could potentially be a risk to other people by spreading the virus or whatever? Wexford and Carlow, highest numbers of vaccinated, also have highest numbers of infection, says a listener in regards to that. Handy if you stick your names onto those WhatsApp messages so that I know who we're talking about anyway. Pauline says, just on the vaccine, Clem, if someone is resident in a hotel, they don't have to be vaccinated. KFM says, Joy, the reason we have a health system that can't cope is because of Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil's policy going back to the savage cuts brought in by those parties over the years as well. And she doesn't absolve Labour from it either. And KFM, 60 years of age. I don't want to give my name, but I've been out of work from the job I love through injury after an accident. That aside, I've struggled mentally to accept this. I am 60 years of age. I was accepted into a VITAS class this year, knowing it was to be online, and it gave me great confidence. Unfortunately, I've been told now they're not doing it online anymore. So after 6 weeks working and studying so hard, building up confidence and class friends, we've been told that I have to leave the course. I'm absolutely devastated. I would have to try to get a lift to Naas to get a bus to Newbridge for over half of us to sit in the class while the teacher would be in another room. I really enjoyed it and feel it is extremely unfair. All this talk about mental health, they don't give an SH1T, if you get my drift. And finally, for the moment, sorry to hear that, by the way. And yes, that's tough on people who might be losing the opportunities for education. Please play a special request for Rose and Adrian Donnelly from Athy. 45 years married today. Rose Donnelly, hey, not a day goes by that we don't count our lucky stars that they're our parents. See you both later for cake. From Adrian, Amanda, Lorraine and Glenn, not forgetting the grandkids, Jack, Kate, Holly, Ross, Killian, Harry, Ben and Ella. We love you loads. Well, Adrian Donnelly and Rose, 45 years married. Ah, y'all codgers, you. Happy anniversary. Anybody having an anniversary or a birthday today, have a great, great day indeed. Just clear a couple of more messages. Clem, please give a mention to that great woman, Mary Hull-Green, who is 1 year off all today. I always remember your interview with her. Indeed, Mary Hull-Green, you rock the world, so keep on rocking it. And Judy McAlinden, thanks for wishing my husband a happy birthday. I think you must be mixing me up with someone else. Oh, yeah, Orla McAlinden, I am. The only writing I do, says Judy, is sending comments about requests to KFM, but I'm listening to KFM since the start, and before that, CKR. Thanks, Judy, for clearing up that. Two McAlindens in the county. Great Down, County Down name, that is. Armagh as well. That name is kind of prominent up north. Yeah, sorry, Orla, for putting you in, and sorry, Judy, but now we got it right. So, Judy, to our husband, Brian, and a very happy birthday today. Glad to be able to do that. Now, let's continue then, because Orchard Park residents in the Curragh still having sheep parties, by the looks of it, are they? John Farley, good morning.
Good morning, Clem.
Good to talk to you again, John. John, are the sheep still eating your hedges, your grass, your flowers, invading the neighbourhood?
They're not eating as many flowers now, Clem. They're not growing as well as they used to. They mustn't be as sweet as they were, Clem.
Now, you were with us a while back and we covered this whole area of the damage being done by sheep, and there were calls by the residents to get a sheep grid in or some kind of barriers. Has there been any progress at all since?
Not a dicky bird, Clem. Not a dicky bird. And no correspondence at all from property management in Newbridge, who said, who we had a meeting with them in Orchard Park. They said that they took all our details and said that they'd keep in contact with us, let us know what's happening, this, that and the other. But absolutely not a dicky bird from them.
Now, has there been some work going on in the area since to address the problem?
There's been other work going on out there. A contractor came in a few weeks ago to install new streetlights, and there's a problem with that now as well.
Right.
The job is half done. Some of the lamps are done. More of them, there's no tops on. There's no light. I don't know whether you know Archer Park or not, Clem, but I live up at the very top.
I do.
Area.
Yes, but tell me, Joe. I mean, have you any idea why the work has stopped?
I rang property management all last week, Clem. Property management. I left messages on their phone, and absolutely not one answer. But they never called me back regards the lights. All I wanted to know was, what was the hold-up? Was there a lack? Could they not get parts for the lights or whatever? But in the meantime, there's four lights outside my house, and out of the four, there's only one working.
Mm-hmm. But they would be, that company would be installing those lights on behalf of who? Would it be on behalf of the SBE networks, or Kildare County Council, or the Department of Defence?
Department of Defence, I'd say, Clem.
Did you ring the Department of Defence?
I rang Property Management, who's responsible.
Right.
Remember I told you before, Clem, they're responsible for Archer Park. They do all the contract work and all that. They would have contracted them people in to do them lights.
Okay, and
but they're gone now, lock, stock and barrel, and they're gone 3 weeks now, and not a sign of them.
Right, and tell me something. What's the story in regards to the sheep situation and dealing with that?
Sheep situation is still the very same, Clem, and since I talked to you 6 weeks ago, I think it was 6 weeks, there's been loads and loads of fencing put all over the Curra camp.
Right.
New fencing erected all over the camp. On the rich side of the camp, I must emphasise, on the rich side, the military college side.
Right.
And a lot more fencing now, Clem, than what we require in Orchard Park. We only require 100 metres of fencing. And there's absolutely no word in this getting it anyway.
All right, and have you heard from any of the councillors or TDs or senators?
No word from... remember that day Martin Hayden was on, Fiona Loughlin was on, all silent.
Right. Okay. Well, let's see now. I'm sure they're listening out there, and they'll be, if they're not listening at the moment, they'll be told about this issue.
Yeah.
Orchard Park, still significant problems there. Okay, John.
Sorry, Clem. Regarding the lighting, I went out, what put me onto property management in the first place was, I went out the other night to around 8 or 9 o'clock to close my gate, as we all do here in Orchard Park, to keep the sheep out. And lo and behold, I saw a woman go up the path, and she was holding a torch in the dark.
Right. That's a health and safety.
Holding a torch. And I said, that made me go on to property management. I was saying, what am I paying my mortgage for? What am I paying my local property tax for? And that's all part of that, right?
Right.
And I was saying to myself, I get on to property management now to get an answer for this for once and for all. Because these lights really are gone now. 11 months they're gone. They're not working. Especially the ones outside my house anyway.
All right,
they're not working for 11 months, Clem.
Okay, that's not acceptable indeed.
That's not acceptable. You're right, it's not.
Right, we'll ask property management today for a statement on this. And any
the best of luck on that one, Clem, because I tell you one thing, there are hard people to get to talk to, Clem.
All right, well, we'll use our avenues of communications to get to them, John. And we'll also call on the public representatives responsible for that particular area as well, to get active and see. On the one hand, why no progress on the sheep grids to stop the sheep invading people's properties? We asked the question before, if sheep are damaging property, why aren't the owners liable for it? Why isn't the Department of Defence liable for it? And what's going on with an Orchard Park where people are walking around with torches at night to try and find their way?
There's two jobs done since I talked to you last. The gate up at the very top of Orchard Park, it's a metal gate. I went out myself and repaired it. I got two extension leads to bring power to that point, and I fixed it myself. Also, I got on to Kildare County Council, which were very good. They emptied the silt and water out of the sheep grid down at the bus stop of the Orchard Park. And fair dues, they come in the week after, emptied the whole place, emptied the sheep grid, and they told me afterwards that them sheep grids were made wrong, that the bars are too close to each other, and that's why the sheep are crossing them.
All right, but then again, John, we know that some of the sheep over there have university degrees, because the last time we spoke to you, we found out that they're highly intelligent, some of these sheep.
Yeah,
because
they're stupid.
Do I recall correctly that some of these sheep had learned how to open the gates on one hand?
Yes.
And in another case, they had figured out that they could walk down the side of the sheep grids.
Exactly.
Well,
when they fill up a silt clam.
Right, okay. Well, the sheep are obviously very bright over on Orchard Park. But, John, on the serious issues of it, we'll follow up that for you, okay?
Thanks very much, Glenn. Thanks for all your...
Not at all. Glad to help. Yeah, that is very that's very frustrating for the people of Orchard Park in regards to that. Aside from the intelligent sheep who have figured out how to bypass the grids and often jump the gates or open gates or whatever else, they're far from thick, as John said. But the issue of how long this has gone on, you know, it comes back to what I've said before. If I have a dog and that dog does damage to someone else's property, I'm liable for it in law. Why aren't the people who own the sheep liable for damage that the sheep cause? Because all these sheep are marked, are they not, as to who owns them, with colour markings. Why is the Department of Defence not liable? Why are householders having their property damaged and seem to have no recourse to getting it solved? And what's the situation with the lighting? Because public lighting is important. It's important for health, it's important for safety, it's important for security. And you know, the idea of this day and age, a person walking around the housing estate with a torch at 9 o'clock in the evening in October, when, according to John, the situation has pertained for over 12 months. We'll follow up and we'll call on the public representatives to extract the finger as well and see what movement we can get on all these issues for the people of Orchard Park.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
I think it was Sean in Selbridge who asked about Ireland and vaccination rates, how we're comparing with other countries. Well, the restrictions, by the way, that we hope will be eased next Friday would be social distancing. Masks, the requirement to wear masks outdoors and in indoor private settings would be removed, but they will remain essential on public transport in healthcare settings and for indoor retail. Religious and civil ceremonies, any capacity restrictions on masses, weddings, funerals and all other religious and civil ceremonies could be removed. Private gatherings, there will be no limits on the number of people that can meet in private homes, gardens. Vaccine certs, the requirement to show a certificate of vaccination immunity or testing as a prerequisite for access to events in a public setting is due to be removed, but that's unlikely to happen now. Ireland has one of the highest vaccination rates in the world and endured some of the most restrictive lockdowns. So how do we compare for other countries? The UK acted fast on vaccines and fast on the relaxation of restrictions, and we seem to be adopting that model. Now, France. In France, as in Ireland, people must wear mask face coverings on public transport, but must also do so in all public indoor settings, except those where health passes must be shown to gain entry. People must also have a health cert or a COVID cert to take long-distance train, bus or plane journeys. In Germany, masks must be worn in busy outdoor settings in Germany. While the plan is to get rid of those settings, most regions in Germany, the regulations are broadly similar to Ireland. Public events in enclosed spaces in Berlin will permit a maximum of 2,000 people. Outdoor public events can take place with a maximum of 2,000 people as well. Matches in some German states are now permitted to hold 100% of capacity, but others within the federal state are capped at 50%. In Spain, COVID measures will also exceed some of the current relaxations. In the Madrid region, outdoor gatherings in bars and restaurants are limited to groups of 10, and indoor groups are limited to just 6. Wow. In Madrid, nightclubs and late-night venues, masks must be worn at all times except when eating or drinking, and no dancing is permitted. And in Italy, finally, for the moment, will require a digital COVID cert to gain access to various public spaces, including but not limited to indoor seating at bars or restaurants, public events, sporting events and competitions, swimming pools, gyms, spas, etc. Those are the restrictions that still apply in other countries, and indeed, we'll have a look at the vaccination rates in other countries compared to Ireland, time permitting, before we go at 11. But now let's go to the next municipal district.
Yes, Councillor Fintan Brett is on the line. Councillor for Fine Gael. Good morning, Fintan.
Good morning. Now, morning, listeners.
I'm sure they'll say good morning back to you, Fintan. Halloween, as we know, is at the end of this month, and you did ask if the council had plans to liaise with the guards and local groups on the management of the celebrations in Naas MD.
Yes, what we're at here is that over the last couple of years there hasn't been really any celebrations of Halloween. I know down in Athy they have been doing parades, and we had been planning to carry that idea up into the towns and villages around the Naas MD, put some LPT into it for prizes, have parades around 6 in the evening, and give prizes to the best dressed and all that, to put Halloween back to what it used to be for children, and that rather than what we've seen around the country for 20, 30 years where you have these bonfires and adults and teenagers out there creating mayhem and having setting fire. So we're working to try and stop the bonfires and, as I said, put Halloween back to what it is, a celebration for children.
Yes, and the council did note the success of the Athy Festival and also a similar event in Leixlip. Now, Fintan, moving on to the Morell Flood Relief Scheme, you've asked for an update on that.
Yes, as people around the Strathan area from Kailover to Strathan, and the district, I suppose, south of the Kail to Strathan Road will know there's about 7 or 8 villages there. You'd have Tuck Millstown, Turnings, Killeenmore, Sherlockstown, Ballyhays, Blackchurch. All those areas were prone to flooding. And this scheme was mooted first 1934. So eventually, in August last year, it commenced on that 11 million project, 9 kilometres of sloped embankments, about half kilometre of flood walls. So that scheme is ongoing at the moment. And, you know, for the people live down Killeenmore in those areas that have been flooded multiple times, sometimes yearly for all those time, it's a fabulous scheme, and it's going well, and the hope is that it'll be completed early in 2023. And very positive update on it.
Okay.
Glad to say.
Great. Now you've asked the council to begin a process to establish a pedestrian link. That's from the Monreed Road to the proposed Curtistown Park to ensure a link is in situ when the park opens to the public.
Yes, Curtistown Park, as we all know, it was over a decade ago. There was a massive problem there with the fire and with the smells from the illegal dumping that went on there, but that has been moved on now, and it's been turned into a park, and the work commenced there earlier this year on it. But the contractor is absolutely flying through it. It's amazing. I stopped yesterday and had a look at it, and I couldn't believe the mountains of material that disappeared, most of it without any orders at all. And what I'm saying is that this park, by the way I'm looking at it anyway, is going to be finished well ahead of schedule. I think it was proposed to finish in 2024, but looking at it, it certainly seems to be well ahead of schedule.
Okay.
So what I want is that the people that live along the Monreed Road, Maudlins and that, can get access as the crow flies. That doesn't mean that they have to travel into the big ball roundabout. There is a priority aid scheme that they can cycle, but getting across that roundabout, which is very busy, can be dangerous.
Yeah.
So I want them to go across. There is a farmer's bridge existing there, and to be fair, the council has said that they have a couple of ideas in mind to do that, and that's very well.
Okay, and Fintan, just finally, you've asked the council to begin a programme of gully cleaning in the areas of Naas susceptible to road flooding before the winter weather arrives. It hasn't quite got here yet, but I can assume that we're going to expect some, I guess, a lot of rain.
Yeah, well, look, a very positive answer here. Certainly back several years ago, there had a few incidents where winter came and overnight with a lot of rain, and we had flooding where gullies had been filled up with leaves and any other type of debris, or if those building works with stuff got washed into them and creating flooding. But the council have said they've already commenced the process. So that's very good, because you'll always get, and I'd always give an example, on the Dublin Road at the entrance to Kingsford, there's a low spot there, and invariably you'd get flooding there when the winter rains had come, or the first heavy downpours had come. So that's good. And again, as I said, it's a very positive response from the council that the work has already commenced and ongoing.
Okay, good positive news for a Friday morning, Fintan. Enjoy your weekend. That's Councillor Fintan Brett of Fine Gael for the Naas Municipal District area.
Thanks, Ciara. God's good save, Clem, says Judy McAlinden. You got Armagh in just in time. The name originates in the Derry McCash area on the shores of Lough Neagh, just north of Lurgan. Linden is the Down version, as in Mickey Linden, the famous Down player. Yeah, but there were McAlindens who have played for Down as well. But yeah, primarily former Armagh manager. There's a guy called Brian McAlinden as well. Same name as your husband, Judy. Was it him, I wonder? Was it manager of Armagh at some stage? Anyway, thanks very much for that. Clem, speaking of sheep rambling off the Curra on the Brownstown Road yesterday morning, there were sheep killed and injured by a vehicle, which I presume is badly damaged as well. And you had councillors on your show saying they can't put a sheep grid on the said road. Yeah? Interesting. Didn't know about that particular incident or whatever else. How come we did not have the nonsense lockdown, social distancing, face masks and fascist passports for TB? Different times in regards to that. My daughter started a course in Newbridge, guaranteed would be online. She could not do it later. A year, a very non-verbal person. Now she has to give it up for another year. Wasted efforts and everything else. Please don't give my name. I won't, indeed. And that comes in... I won't give your name. Clem, please wish Peg Kelly a happy 70th birthday today. Love from Peter, Geraldine, Orla and Adele. And good morning, Clem. I just wanted to add a comment regarding the sheep on the Curra. You said the responsibility should be on the owners to pay for the damage. Usually, if sheep were grazing on a private property, the owner is responsible for upkeeping fencing so sheep cannot roam. And if they cause damage, in that case, it's up to the owner. The Curra is a different matter, as individual farmers cannot fence it to keep sheep off roads or private property. Therefore, they cannot be at fault. Farmers herd their sheep several times daily, but cannot stay in the Curra with them 24 hours a day. All right, fair point. But who does it ultimately come back to then? The farmers pay for permits every year, pay a fair amount of money for their sheep to graze. Well, then ultimately, isn't it like if you're renting an apartment? The landlord is responsible for repairs in the apartment and rules and regulations being observed and health and safety. So therefore, if the owners and controllers are Department of Defence, surely then they ultimately have the liability for compensating anybody whose property is damaged. Anyway, to other matters for the moment, Course correspondent Frank Graney. He is reporting on the current murder trial in Dublin of Stephen Penrose, who's going on trial for the murder of Philip Finnegan, whose body was found in Rahan Woods near Clarenco. Here's Frank's brief review of yesterday's proceedings.
Philip Finnegan's decapitated body was found in a shallow grave in Rahan Woods, County Kildare, on September 2nd, 2016. His mother, Angela, reported him as a missing person 3 weeks beforehand when he didn't return home. She was described as extremely distraught when she made the report. She told the jury she couldn't get a hold of her son and just knew something was wrong. He was wearing a stab vest when he left her flat on the day he went missing, and she said he told her he was going to meet Stephen Penrose. It is the prosecution's case that Philip met a gruesome death at the hands of Mr. Penrose, whom they say then made up a story to cover his tracks. The 38-year-old, who's representing himself after dispensing with the services of his legal team, denies the murder charge. Frank Graney, the Central Criminal Court.
And that trial continues, so no comment will be made at this stage. And more happy birthday to Brian McAlinden in Ubridge. It comes from all the OBs in Ratangan as well. Why don't they make unvaccinated people who get COVID pay for treatment, asks a listener. And regarding the TB issue, it's still killing 4,000 people a day. I don't think so, in terms of Ireland. Not at all. You know, And we're talking about a time in the 30s, 40s, 50s when TB was prevalent. The technology to do what we can do nowadays, either to in terms of public health measures, was not available or possible to become operative at the time either. Okay, what else am I going to do? Yeah, I want to refer back to Sean's message there. How does Ireland compare to other countries? COVID-19 rates, of course, are rising. According to a Reuters tracker, for every 100 infections reported around the world in the last week, about 41 were in Europe. The continent is seeing 1 million new infections every week. The latest weekly update from the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control shows a 14-day notification rate per 100,000 people for Ireland at 372 infections per 100,000 people. Now, some are saying Ireland has the highest infection rate in Europe. It doesn't. Because Ireland's rate per 100,000 is 372. In Lithuania, it's 972. In Latvia, 864. In Estonia, 859. In Romania, it's 858. Also, other countries outside of Eastern Europe, the UK has the highest seven-day infection rate at 396 per 100,000, which is almost double Ireland's rate, weekly rate now, of 209. That's the weekly rate as opposed to the 14-day rate as well. Even countries with a low seven-day incidence rate, such as Denmark, whose incidence rate over 7 days is only 71 compared to Ireland's 209, are seeing infections rise. When the Danes lifted all restrictions in mid-September, they were reporting 313 cases per day. That's now jumped by 80% to 564 cases a day. And Professor Philip Nolan is quoted as saying, "It is wrong to see Ireland as an outlier in Europe." He points out that infection rates are also rising in many other countries. And he continues, "We are actually doing quite well, especially in hospitalisation rates, which are 100 per million cases on average across Europe, but compared to 60 to 70 per 1 million here in Ireland."
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Quick one now before we turn our attention to the sport. Disturbing numbers yesterday. Raida Cronin on a Freedom of Information request discovered that there are 11,292 people on outpatient waiting lists at Naas General Hospital. I'll repeat that. 11,292, as the waiting list has doubled in 5 years. That's quite incredible. It was 5,717 in 2016. It's now 11,292. Almost 3,000 are waiting up to 2 years for treatment, and almost 2,000 are waiting over 2 years. There are 934 people waiting in hospital for GI scopes. 108 of these are waiting up to 2 years. 43 of them are waiting over 2 years. And I'm sure that's replicated right around the country. But hang on to that figure. 11,292 people on outpatient waiting lists at Naas General Hospital, a doubling over 5 years, with 3,000 waiting up to 2 years and 2,000 waiting over 2 years.
A new youth football programme in Kildare has encouraged new members of all abilities to join ahead of its upcoming debut game at the weekend. Coyle Dove AFC Football for All has been up and running for the past 4 months and currently has over 30 children registered with them for it. Jenny Brereton is secretary and Football for All coordinator of Coyle Dove AFC, and she joins us now. Good morning, Jenny. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Owen. Good morning.
I remember talking a couple of weeks ago to a member of the St. Kevin's GAA club because they had just gotten a new programme underway in association with Rathcoffey. They put their, rivalries either side of Painstown Cross to the side, and they were coming up with the GAA for All proposal. But it seems as though now that has worked its way through to Coyle Dove, and you have a game against Derry Rovers coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, that's correct, Owen. Back in May of this year, we actually had our open day for Football for All. And it really has just gone from strength to strength. And it's brilliant that there is more opportunities for children with disabilities. Like Kevin's, I suppose, back in 2019, we realised as a club that there was a lot of children in the area that attended special classes and schools within the area, but there wasn't an awful lot of activities outside of school time for them. So we put together, with the help of the FAI and Christy MacElliott there in the FAI, he was super, and since 2019 we were working on it, and unfortunately COVID got in the way. So we were delighted then in May to start off, and it's just gone from strength to strength every week.
Yeah, I think it's a great initiative because, as we know, a lot of people of all different abilities and ages are interested in sport, and it shouldn't be cordoned off just for those who are physically able and can play at the elite level of sport. So it's great to get these children in and make them feel included as they should be.
Absolutely. And Kildare AFC, that's the important thing. It is all about inclusion. And our players are equally as important as our senior teams and our underage teams. So we value them so, so much. And we are so appreciative that the parents bring them to our club. And like, we have children travelling from all over the county now to come to us. Like, we've children from Strathfinn and Kill, Newbridge, and then locally Robertstown, Prospers, Cameague, even Nice. So we have quite a wide variation of people, and it's great that people are travelling, and it's purely word of mouth that they're coming out to us. So we're very, very grateful for that.
I know as well, Kildare is working closely with the secondary school as well in Prosperous, St. Fernan's Post-Primary School. Just before we let you go, Jenny, tell us details then about this game on Sunday. Derry Rovers from Eden Derry. Where is it? What time is it at?
Yeah, this is a huge milestone for ourselves as a club and for our team, and we're holding it in Cusick Park in Kildare. Kick-off will be 1 o'clock, and we'd love for absolutely everybody to come out. And if there's anybody there that is showing an interest that maybe would like to take part or become involved, whether it be playing or volunteer or coaching, please contact us and come out. And hopefully it'll be a very enjoyable day for everybody.
Super, super initiative. That's Jenny Brereton, Secretary and Football for All Coordinator with Kildare AFC. Thanks for joining us, Jenny, and the very best of luck on Sunday.
Thank you very much, Owen. Thank you.
Well done. Fantastic initiative by Kildare, and one that should be, and St. Kevin's previously as well, and one that should be adopted by every club in regards to that. A Garda has told the trial of a man accused of murdering his friend. The victim's mother was extremely distraught when she reported him as a missing person. This is the Frank Graney report that I talked about earlier on, and we carried that for you in the last couple of minutes in regards to that. Now, to turn our attention to sport, Tommy Callaghan writes in this week's Leinster Leader, after an incredible number of weekends on the club scene, we have reached the semi-final stages of the Old Shebeen Intermediate Football Championship, along with the Tom Cross Transport Junior Football Championship, also reaching that stage this Saturday and Sunday evening. Tommy Callaghan goes on to write, there is also one outstanding UPMC quarter-final in the Senior Hurling Championship remaining, and on Saturday, tomorrow, this sees Art Clock, third place in the winners' group, taking on Kyle Dove, runners-up in the losers' equivalent. And Tommy goes on to, in detail, preview all of those games. Good morning again, Tommy Callaghan.
Morning, Clem.
Thank you for joining us. Let's start then, Tommy, with that Senior Hurling Championship quarter-final. Art Clock and Kyle Dove, old rivals going into battle tomorrow.
Yeah, old rivals indeed, Clem. Probably neither are at the level they have been over the last number of years. But there's still a win here is vital for one or the other. Difficult enough one to call, to be quite honest with you. Kyle Dove have a couple of injuries, and that might just go against them. They have a couple of injuries, and they've had them now for a couple of weeks, and I doubt if they'll be cleared up. And just because of that, I give a very, very tentative nod to Art Clock, but I wouldn't be overly confident. I don't think either, in fairness, this will be they won't go any further than the semi-final. That's highly unlikely, but that won't worry them at this stage anyway.
Will Art Clock have it to their advantage that they operated in a winners' group, Tommy, as you're right, where they had the experience of coming up against Selbridge and Nace, as opposed to Kyle Dove, who operated in the losers' group, defeated Clane and Aero O'Curraquill and losing to Leixlip?
Yeah, but the downside of that one, Clem, is that Art Clock got two fairly comprehensive hidings from both Nace and Selbridge. It wouldn't do your confidence a lot of good, to be honest with you.
Right.
You know, so you can look at it both ways.
Okay, that game then is on tomorrow in Newbridge.
And
the throw-in time for that is 1 o'clock. We're going to go through all the fixtures now. Tommy, in the intermediate football semi-finals, you're right, the first of these down for decision at Connolly's Park tomorrow afternoon. Ballymore Eustace playing Leixlip. That game is timed for 4:45.
Yeah, that game's down 4:45, Clem. These sides actually met earlier on in the championship. They met in Raheens on a wet, dirty night, and there was only 1 point separating them. Ballymore came out on top, 1-9 to 1-8. The conditions were probably the main reason why the scoreline wasn't any bigger than that. Ballymore topped the group with 5 points, one ahead of their opponents tomorrow. Apart from defeating Leixlip, Dallas got the better of Ellistown. The dual car were coming from. I remember that match. They came from a long way back. Well, not a long way back, but they came from 4 or 5 points down with the clock ticking down, and they got to share the points. Leixlip, they've already beaten Ellistown and Carra last weekend. After looking, they looked like they were in big trouble last weekend against Ballyteague. That match, I think, was in Connaught Park in Clane in the quarter final. But in the last 12-15 minutes, Leixlip came alive. And came from looking like season was about to come to an end to booking a place in tomorrow's semi final. A lot of good footballers came on both sides. Simon Murphy is flying for Ballymore at the minute, and Sean Broderick at full forward is a big influential player. Brian Crowe, Caelan Halpin, Shane Barrett, another very, very good player. Mark Barrett at full back is as good as you get at this level of football, and even more. Mark was on the county panel there for a while. Good player, very good player. Leixlip, well, of course, Leixlip have their probably best known man would be Tommy Bulick. Jack Barrett is a quality footballer. He's playing well. Jack Quinn at number 6. Paddy Maher, Eamon Murphy. A lot of good footballers. I expect this one could be fairly tight. I wouldn't even rule out extra time in this one, but at the end of the day, I think I'll go with Ballymore.
All right.
But I'll give it to Ballymore.
Hesitant vote for Ballymore. That game is tomorrow in Newbridge at 4:45. We'll stay with the Intermediate Championship, Tommy. On to Sunday at 4 o'clock in Newbridge. Kilcock versus Salons.
Yeah, these also met in the group stage. Excuse me. The championship has been run very well, exceptionally well, I have to say. But there's one thing is a pity, is that teams are meeting again that have already met. That's usually avoidable, but on this occasion, and in fairness to Mick Mullen, the chairman of the CCC, when he was making the draw in John Mallon's back, whenever it was, a couple of months ago, he did say from the outset that teams could meet again, and it has happened, and it's going to happen in the senior as well next weekend. Kilcock had an impressive win over Norley last weekend. Salons had an excellent 3-point win over Allenwood in the quarter final. Kilcock and Salons, when they did meet, Salons were looking like they were going to win that match by a couple of points, and Kilcock came back and saved the last 3 or 4 minutes, scored about 4 points to win it by 1. Again, a lot of good footballers. Shane O'Rourke, Sean O'Sullivan, Darren McCardle, and Finlay Nair, all Kilcock lads. And then Salons will be looking for their top scorer, Conor Herbert. Jamie Cox is playing well. For County Minors this year, James Dalton, Paul Farley, all good players. And expect another tight one here, Ken, but I think I'd give this one to Kilcock. Won't be lying in either, but Kilcock will get the nod.
All right. The Tom Cross Transport Junior Football, 2 semi-finals. The first one is tomorrow, the second one on Sunday. Tomorrow, Rathcoffee against Robertstown at 3 o'clock in Newbridge, Tommy.
Yeah, Rathcoffee topped the group after 5 games with 9 points. The only point they dropped was against Kilcullen. Robertstown, Killin, Garvin finished on 8 points, and at Garvin were the unlucky ones going out to Kilcullen in the quarter-final. Robertstown, I would say, Robertstown are always knocking around the junior championship. They're always there or thereabouts. Great team to score goals. And I think if Rathcoffee aren't to get over them, they'll have to keep their goal intact, I think. If they don't, I can see Robertstown booking the place in the final and give it to Robertstown.
All right, then Kilcullen and Kill at 2 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah, Kilcullen and Kill, another very interesting game, Cam. Kilcullen are trying to make their stay in the junior ranks probably one of the shortest in history, as they were only relegated when the championship resumed earlier on a couple of months ago. So they're hoping that they'll be in the junior championship, and now the junior champions fall into 1 year. So they had a good win over at Garvin last week. They didn't play particularly well in the last quarter, but they had the game kind of sewn up. I think myself, I have to give it to Kilcullen. They had that little bit too much for Kill will give it their all, there's no doubt about that, but I give it to Kilcullen on the day.
All right, and you can read the details of those previews by Tommy himself in this week's edition of the Leinster Leader, and he'll have full reports, of course, in Tuesday's edition as well. Tommy, thanks for your time.
And you, Claire.
And good morning to you. Have a good sporting weekend. Now, there's more than that on over the weekend, of course, because the Ladies' Championships are all happening over the weekend as well. Tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 in Sarsfields, it's the Senior Ladies' Semi-Final, the second one of those. That championship had been suspended for quite a while, and Sarsfields are playing Leixlip in that game at 3:30. Tara Byrne will be reporting live on that game for us tomorrow afternoon. Now, the ladies also have all their other finals on over the weekend. At Mangar Plus in Hawkfield, the Junior C final at 12:30, Salins versus Rathcoffey. Junior B final, 1 o'clock, 2 Mile House versus Raheens. Junior A final, 2:30, Nafianna versus Kappa. Intermediate final at 3 o'clock, Kilcullen versus Kilcock. And we'll have score updates on all those games on Saturday Sports Beat tomorrow with Ben Atkinson between 2 and 6. But Tara Byrne reporting on the ladies' senior semi-final. And from 1 o'clock tomorrow, Ger McNally will be reporting on the Senior Hurling Championship quarter-final between Art Clock and Kyle Dove. And our live coverage continues throughout tomorrow afternoon and indeed throughout the whole weekend into Sunday as well. And our programme coverage, our sports coverage this weekend, is in association with the Lock 13 Brew Pub in Salins. And we're delighted to have them aboard and thank them for their support. And in AIL Rugby tomorrow, we'll have live updates from Naas against Highfield at 2:30. That game is in Cork, and Anthony Lawler will be reporting. Let's give you an overview of what's happening sports-wise on KFM this weekend.
KFM Weekend Sport begins with the Friday morning Kildare Today preview at 10:45. Saturday Sports Beat from 2 with me, Ben Atkinson, in association with Lock 13 Brew Pub Salins, features updates of the Ard Clock v Kyle Dove Senior Hurling quarter-final from 1 p.m. The Ballymore v Leixlip Intermediate Football semi-final, the Rathcoffey v Robertstown Junior semi-final, and Sarsfields v Leixlip in the Ladies Senior semi-final. Premier League updates with Conlon Centre and Fuel Depot Athy, nascent Barnhall in AIL Rugby, golf scores, racing results and great music. Sunday Sports Beat from 2 with Paul Power in association with Lock 13 Brew Pub Salins features live updates of the Kilcock v Salins Intermediate Football semi-final, Kilcullen versus Kill in the Junior semi-final, Premier League updates, rugby and racing results and the best music. From 5:30, results and reports.
KFM.
Yes, indeed, a packed weekend, and let's wish good luck to the Kildare Masters as well. The side is managed by Noel Casey, and indeed they've done very well so far in the competition. I know they've beaten Cork and Clare and just one loss to Dublin. Good article by Pat Costello in the Kildare Nationalist on this team, by the way, and a nice photograph as well. They're playing Donegal this weekend, tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, and the match is fixed at this stage anyway for Kingspan Breffni Park. And we wish Noel Casey and the Kildare Masters footballers the best of luck in what is in effect, is it an All-Ireland final tomorrow evening in Kingspan Breffni Park. Well done all.